I'll move to adopt the committee substitute for resolution number ONCR 2110, dated April 21st, stamped in at 1:05 p.m.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to adopt the committee substitute for ONCR 2120. All in favor, please say yes.
2110. Yes.
2110. Apologies. Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes.
If the committee and members don't have anything further, any comments or questions, then I will make a motion to report ONCR 2110 committee substitute to be sent to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to report ONCR 2110 committee substitute to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? No. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, executives. And Mr. Luthy.
Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you for the time today.
Yes, thank you.
Madam Chair, yes. I will relinquish the chair back to you.
Thank
at this
you.
Time.
Thank you. All right, Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes, ma'am.
We are now on consideration of ONCA 2140, an act to establish the formal standards used to promote health and general welfare of the Osage people's culture, economy, natural resources through food and agriculture production. And if you can start talking about your bill and then also start texting all the people that you want on the line.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did send a text out to three. I didn't have Ms. Curry's phone number to text her.
I'm texting her now.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I also have a committee substitute that I would like to move to adopt the committee substitute stamped in at 1:06 p.m. today, April 21st, 2021, for ONCA 2140.
Okay, thank you. There's a motion on the floor to adopt a committee substitute with a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. We are now considering the recently adopted committee substitute. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you very much. And I just wanted to ensure that you all received the committee substitute. And I just wanted to know how you guys wanted to proceed as far as, would you like for me to just go through the little changes that were made to this particular substitute compared to the original filing? Now, or just kind of talk the overview of this piece of legislation?
However you would like to proceed.
Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm gonna go ahead and go with showing you some of the changes from the committee substitute. I do need to say this also. ONCA 2140 is actually what we, in the food code, the model food code that this is based off of is actually chapter 5. And then ONCA 2141 is actually chapter 4. So this chapter we're going to talk about right now, which is food safety, agricultural and food safety, would actually need to come to follow 2141. I know that it's out of chronological order. I just want to let you guys know that. So ultimately, what we're looking at here is it's a food safety plan and a harvest safety plan for our nation. And we're talking about, you know, food sovereignty and the importance of food sovereignty and the importance of food security and safety that we go through. And this is basically an outline for our nation with the assistance from Department of Natural Resources to utilize the Administrative Procedures Act to impose regulations, policies, procedures, that would fall underneath this particular outline. It is a lengthy bill, and one of the things that we changed, if you guys, we added food and harvest safety. Instead of it just being a harvest safety plan, that was one of the substitutes that we added for this particular committee substitute. And that's all on page one. And then on page 11, there was, which is line at line 490, it did read the Osage Nation Congress, not the Osage Nation Department of Natural Resources. It was changed to say what it does now, which is the Osage Nation Department of Natural Resources. Whenever public health or other considerations within the reservation so require, is authorized to adopt, amend, or repeal regulations pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act. That was the other change that was made. And then the last change that was made on this committee substitute compared to the first one was line 14, page 14, line 606. The number five on line 606, the paragraph, it was just really wordy and confusing. And we just did some cleanup language on it to make it not so confusing. With that being said, I don't know so it looks like, okay, we got Carly Hotvet, I believe, on the line, and Jan Heyman, and Rebecca Kirk. Is that right, ladies?
Yes, this is Carly. I'm here, and I believe we have Morgan as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining in. I know that you have to hop off possibly Carly here in a few minutes. So if
sure.
The chair doesn't mind, Carly Hotvet is our subject matter expert from the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative out of the University of Arkansas. And Ms. Carly, would you like to say a few things?
Sure. So this particular section of our model tribal food and ag code is particularly relevant with the Food Safety Modernization Act that the U.S. Congress has passed. And it is a law of general applicability, which means that all tribal nations, states, and political subdivisions of the United States are required to be compliant with this in order to address some of the commerce issues. There are some exemptions with regard to the dollar amount of produce that each farm or enterprise produces, but once you get over that threshold under the federal law, you have to be compliant. This particular code, as it's drafted, is tailored towards tribal governments in order to ease entry for tribal producers who are wanting to engage in commerce both on and off reservation. It's intended to be curtailed and specific to the regulations under USDA and FDA that are applicable to tribal operators and producers specifically. So we don't have anything in this code that's extraneous, and everything that is in it is applicable to a tribe. The reason why why we felt this was important to include in our model code was to ensure that tribes, by having this code on the books, were preventing regulatory encroachment from external jurisdictions, like from the state, from the county, or from some other federal entity that may not necessarily be or have the specific jurisdictional authority to have oversight. So by passing a code that is reflective of the mandatory components under federal law, but also preserves and is considerate of tribal sovereignty, it allows the tribe to occupy that regulatory space and prevent any sort of external jurisdiction from attempting to be influential in that process.
May I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Carly. I appreciate that. I've been working with Carly and Jan Heyman, the Department of Natural Resources Director, and Ms. Curry through these bills and this proposed legislation. And I just wanted to say that they've been a wonderful help to me. And Ms. Jan, do you have anything that you'd like to add at this point?
I do not have anything more to add. I think Carly pretty much gave the best explanation, I think, for the purposes right now.
Okay, great. And so ultimately, this is basically just an outline for the Department of Natural Resources to come in and put together regulations for our food safety here at Osage Nation, and making sure that we are being as safe as we can with production and with if we decide to, if we want to go down the road of selling any of our product, and also for individuals that want to get involved with that under this particular code. So just if the committee has any questions, we can do our best to clear things up.
Committee.
Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Thank you. I was wondering, Congresswoman Lemon, so this act covers for the folks that live within our historical boundaries that want to farm or produce foods that would allow the inspections and things like that to happen if they were wanting to sell it. Is that correct?
Yes, that is my... Yeah.
Okay. And I was, if I may continue, Chair.
Yes, continue.
I was, you know, I've been reading through this, and I appreciate this bill. I've learned a lot. And one thing that had stood out to me was the child labor. I was like, wow, I wish this was around when my grandma was alive. But I'm glad that they address it, you know. But this, is this for only Osages that have, because it defines a farmer, that means a person who owns or operates a commercial ag enterprise. So would you have to, this only applies to those folks that have a commercial ag enterprise? And it's in our definitions.
Congresswoman Lemon. I'm looking, thank you. I'm looking at that right this moment.
It's in 5-101 at the beginning of the act.
Yes.
Okay. So, Chair.
Yes.
I was just wondering if somebody could answer, like, so do you have to go, if I wanted to become, you know, participate in this, would I have to go and then operate as a, it looks like as a commercial ag enterprise, and how would I go about doing that? Is that something that I would file with the state, or am I allowed to file that with the nation, or what would be my first step?
Is that your question to Ms. Lemon?
Yes, or anybody on the call.
Okay, give me just a second. If anybody else wants to jump in.
Congresswoman, this is Carly Hotbed. I'd be happy to kind of provide some context with that.
If you have an answer to her question, then go ahead.
Okay. So anybody can participate in a harvest safety plan and the safety components. It's only mandatory for those commercial agricultural enterprises. And what that means is just you have an ag operation, and commercial means that you sell products from it. Whether you're incorporated under the laws of the state, if you're, you know, on Osage Nation jurisdictional boundaries and you're an Osage producer, you would fall under the Osage code, but also possibly risk exposing yourself to a state law or state jurisdiction. So my recommendation would be, for anybody interested in getting started, would be to organize your business if you wanted to have a formal business organization under the laws of the Osage Nation, whether you want it to be, you know, a sole proprietorship or a partnership or an LLC. So that way you are subject to Osage Nation code rather than a variety of codes.
Does that answer your question? Thank you. I see where you're going with that. As far as the word commercial, I'm sorry, Chair, I didn't have permission. Are there any other questions or comments? Ms. Lemon, do you have anything further? At this point, I don't. I do want you to recognize there isn't an alternate effective date on it, because I wanted to have the executive branch and the DNR to have the ability to have that 60 days leeway that they can utilize to put this particular code and regulations into play. That's why it's not there. I did want to mention that.
Are there any other further questions, comments, or anything else from Congresswoman Lemon?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So one of the things that that as a native living within our native boundaries who produces agriculture myself, when looking at state regulations and things of that nature, there's a lot of hoops that they make us jump through. And that's okay. There's a reason why they have it the way that they do. This particular, when we're developing our food codes and for our food sovereignty and for our ability to ease the, you know, food securities, one of the things that we definitely, that I would want to see myself, this is just for my own personal, you know, in learning from, talking about like an incorporated business, is that I would want to be under Osage Nation's umbrella and not the state's umbrella, personally. We have the ability to put this together and mold it how we have what fits us and our people within our boundaries. And the Administrative Procedures Act allows or requires, is it a 30 or 60 day window for the, somebody help me out here, for a comment section before a regulation is actually put into play. And so this isn't something that is, you know, this goes along with the regulations that the Department of Natural Resources is going to come up with. So if there's going to be a period in time also that I'd like for everybody to understand is that we're going to have time to ask more into the deep dive into the regulations of what we're going to be doing and what's going to be out there in a comment period to give feedback to the Department of Natural Resources when they're putting their regulations together concerning this particular chapter or any of the food code information. I hope I didn't confuse everybody.
Chair Goodfox?
Yes, Congressman King.
So I think this is good. I've been reviewing it, and I just got one question. So on page one, Harvest Safety Plan, section B, it says a farmer must have a harvest safety plan. What agency do we have? Who are we reviewing to check to make sure that they have the plan? Do we have an idea of how that would, I guess, looking ahead, how would that work in practice? Thank you.
Madam Chair. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Congressman Keene. And so it's gonna be the Department of Natural Resources. This falls under the purview of Jan Heyman and her department. And ultimately, I'm gonna leave it up to Ms. Jan at this point to further the discussion on the Food and Harvest Safety Plan.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Jan. Thank you. Yes, and in working with Ms. Hotvet on furthering the regulations once these codes are in place, our office would be the lead on seeing this through. We would have staff available and trained and ready to ensure that the parts of these codes are followed, and that we would and help and work to help constituents through this process as we build regulations and move through the regulatory enactment process. But yes, it would center with the Department of Natural Resources.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Also, I did want to add this, and in our discussions, in looking at where does all this fit in and how are we going to incorporate it? Something that was brought to light that Ms. Hotvet had mentioned is that a lot of folks in Native Nations are employing individuals under the title of a food sovereignty coordinator. And that person can wear many hats. And one of the things that you're going to see in here is you're talking about regulations are going to be put in place for a harvest safety plan, like you have to have hand washing facilities in certain areas, and you have to, the child labor is in here, the training that's required, the safety for the children, any exemptions and things of that nature. And so let's say that you find that you are in violation of one of the codes or one of the regulations. that what happens is in our discussions, we were talking about, well, you know, how do we do the enforcement piece of it? Who's going to do the enforcement piece of it? How does that look? What does it look like? And that's when we brought the AG's office in to help us with that particular idea behind that. And one of the things that I don't believe it's completely settled, but under discussion would be a job title that would encompass an inspector who, to go circle back to Mr. Keene's question on who's going to do that. So it would be the Department of Natural Resources, but someone in that department would be an inspector who would come to your place and inspect The inspector would come and then you would submit your harvest safety plan and they would go through it with you to make sure that you're meeting all the needs so that you can be deemed to have a food and harvest safety plan and meet the regulation and get that stamp of approval. I hope I'm saying that right, Ms. Jan.
Yes, that is correct. And I believe Rebecca Kirk had a brief conversation with Chief about this as well, but just making sure that we have the staff necessary. And I want to at least mention that the Department of Natural Resources is not new to having inspectors. We already have inspectors employed for other like oil and gas initiatives. So we already kind of fill that role in another area. So it makes sense to have somebody in that role and kind of an inspector position that can ensure that the codes and regulations later are being followed. And like Congresswoman Lemon said, and help the people through the process. I think that's, for us, really important. We don't want to just enact these codes and expect everybody to just know, you know, what's happening. We want to work with the constituents and walk them through the process and help them understand not only the purpose, but how to move forward. So we want to very much work very closely with the constituents.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. I also just wanted to let everybody know that there are other chapters that are coming down the pike that will be filed. And this particular chapter, when we're looking at it, is looking a lot towards more of the produce type of food safety and handling. We also have other chapters that will be filed concerning animal and livestock, you know, standards and code that we need to get into place. And especially since now that we have the meat packing plant, we definitely need to hedge forward on that particular front. Thank you.
Chair Bighorn, Chair Goodfox.
Congressman Keene.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's other tribes, maybe if I could go online, that have good model food codes where I could just kind of, just to look at, nothing against this one, but, you know, just to get a general idea of how theirs are constructed as well, if you guys can think of any.
Is that question to Ms. Heyman or to anyone who
Just anyone, if they know of any tribe just off the top of their head.
I think
that has a really in-depth model that we could view online.
This is Carly Hotbutt. We have a complete model code available at, I will drop the website into the chat. But what that code is, it's a kind of a compilation of sections of code that other tribes have developed. It's drawn a lot from different portions of other tribal codes. I'm not sure of any one tribe that has a full comprehensive code similar to the model code as it's been developed, but many tribes have adopted certain sections or components of that code. Oneida has a really good cottage food code that they use that might be a good example. Other tribes are working towards that. I know Yurok is looking at cottage food code examples, and then some of the Northern Ojibwe tribes also have adopted components of that code. But within the model code on the website, we also list out all the different sections and components of the code that we source from and what tribe hosts that code, and then also a commentary and discussion section of why those particular components were considered in addition to any other sort of resources that were utilized to develop that.
Thank you.
Madam Madam Chair.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, Carly, for that and for dropping that in our chat. I also, I believe, and maybe I didn't do it correctly, but I did forward the final, the food, tribal food and ag code to the body of Congress earlier today. Mr. Keene, for you to have some reference there also. I had Shanna send it out, or she's going to send it out. Maybe she hasn't sent it out yet. Thank you.
Any other members with questions or comments? Congresswoman Revard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So just in regards with this whole project overall, I just want to thank Congresswoman Lemon for taking the lead on this project. And I think, you know, it's something that other tribes are doing in Indian country and have been doing for some time. And I feel like now we're actually catching up in the food sovereignty world within Indian country. And I also wanted to make mention that discussion of food sovereignty is mentioned throughout our approved strategic plan under economic development, under education, under health, and even minerals and natural resources. So I would just want to thank you for taking the lead on this and everybody that's joined the call. I commend you and appreciate that you're responding to the strategic plan and to the need for food sovereignty within Osage Nation. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other member?
I just have one more thing to say.
Congresswoman Lemon, and then
I'll yield.
Congresswoman Shaw, then Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Chair. Congresswoman Lemon, first I wanted to let you know that we did receive this.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll have time to, you know, I'll have time to read this later on, but I also wanted to say thank you. This is a very big project and you've put a lot of work into it. I appreciate it, and I hate to back you up a little bit, but you mentioned something about a comment period. Can you explain that to me again to make sure I understand?
Sure. So under the Administrative Procedures Act, and we have Morgan on here. Is it 30 days, Ms. Morgan?
Yes, I believe it's 30 or 60 days. I can pull that up really quick and double check.
Okay.
But just kind of the process of it is, we will internally write those regulations. We're required to post them on the Osage Nation's website, and it'll be like a notice that DNR is going to implement these regulations, and here's the subject matter of those regulations, and they'll be able to view them, and then they'll go through. So they'll be on the website for 30 days. We did this with the wildlife regulations. We didn't receive any comments. So then after that comment period is over, they'll be published again on the website as the official regulations for the food regulations. So I'm pretty sure it's 30 days, but I can double check that really quick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments or questions regarding?
Yes.
Bill number ONCA 2140.
Yes, ma'am.
You're done. You want more?
I do. I have a couple things. So,
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So ultimately, if you guys remember.
Hey.
Hello? Okay. Currently, formerly known as Bird Creek Farms, what is it, Harvest Land? Somebody help me add the name. Anyways, they actually have a food and harvest safety plan in place currently. As we speak, they went through it with this, I believe, a year ago during this session. They came and presented their plan and what they have in place. Is that not right, Ms. Jan?
Yes, that is correct.
And then I just want to say thank you to the committee for your questions and if anybody doesn't have anything further, I just kind of want to see where we want to go with it.
So for the committee, I will let you know that we have just to kind of recap, today's Wednesday. Tomorrow we have a commerce meeting from 2 to 5 that has a packed agenda. On Friday, we have a commerce meeting from 1 to 2:30, which has we have 2140 on there and 2141 on there. I thought that this might need two meetings, and so that's why I went ahead and scheduled it. And then I'm gonna request another meeting on Monday because we will need to discuss ONCR 2109 and ONCA 2148, which was just read in today. And the committee is, so you have a Friday meeting. We have a Friday meeting where this legislation's on there. The chair is entertaining any motions for what the will of the committee is at this time. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm good with, if I'm good either way. Want to move it out or if we want to keep it here. I want everybody to be comfortable with it. I want it to be successful for us so that we can accomplish moving forward with becoming safe and ensuring that we exert our sovereignty in the best way that we can based on health, which is related to food. So whatever you guys think.
Chair.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Personally, as a committee member, I've read and reviewed this. I'm fine with it going out. I think the work that's going to actually have to be done is within DNR. And I think this just lays the guidelines and a footprint. And so I'm fine with it going out, and I appreciate the fact that you've pieced it. I think I'd have more questions on the other sections that we're going to be talking about. But this one in particular, since it's followed after a model and everybody that's on the call has been involved, I'm fine with moving it out of committee.
That's you want me to make that in the form of a motion? Or does anyone else have any other comments or questions or wanting it to stay and visit on Friday? How does everyone else feel?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem with it going out either. The only reason why I would want to hold it, because I have read the piece of legislation, is to be able to read the item that you sent out, the document you sent out earlier today, but I don't know that that would change, anything.
Okay, so you want time to read through the committee substitute?
Not the committee substitute, the model.
Oh, the model.
The model. That was sent over earlier today. So that's the only reason why I would want to hold it until Friday.
Okay.
But I'd also be okay with sending it out, and I'll read it between now and then.
Okay. The chair will entertain motions then.
Motion to report ONCA 2140 with a due pass to Congress.
Second.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor with a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Seeing no opposed, the motion carries. We are now on to consideration of ONCA 2141.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee. So 2141 is chapter 4 of in the food code, and it's also anything that has to do with food codes is going to be referenced for support documentation in the email that you guys received earlier today, and that's where this these pieces of legislation are actually derived from. Chapter 4 is food conservation. There's several definitions in here, and we talked about a committee substitute at one point in time, and really the only thing that I would want the committee to maybe, or not the only thing, but just one thing that's kind of stuck out to me in our meetings that we had with Jan and Morgan and Carly was on page 3, and under it's section 127. If you see there, it says Osage Nation Food Facility. And so one of the questions was, well, what is that? What is an Osage Nation Food Facility? And one of the recommendations would have been that we add a definition of what an Osage Nation Food Facility is. And I did come up, I talked to Trey about it, and we conversed a little bit, and he did come up with some verbiage. And I was just wondering if you guys would, you know, what y'all's thoughts were on the need for a definition for Osage Nation Food Facility concerning this particular piece of legislation. Do y'all feel like we need it? I'm totally fine with adding it. Just kind of wanted to, if you want me to read the description, I'll be glad to.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So Osage Nation Food Facility definition, and please help me if you guys don't like what it says, we can change it however, is means an operation owned by the Osage Nation that stores, prepares, packages, serves, vends, or otherwise provides food for human consumption at the retail level, including, but not limited to, an operation where food is consumed on or off the premises, regardless of whether there is a charge for the food. That's the definition.
Members of the committee? Any questions or comments?
Chair, it's Revard.
Congresswoman Revard.
So, Congresswoman Lemon, is this the bill then that we might have been, you know, talking a little bit about yesterday, that talks about the food that we donate to different organizations? So say, for instance, I think my example was the food from Bird Creek Farms or Harvest Lands that we would take up to Title VI, and say for a salad bar or something of that nature, and that since they're federally funded, we could at least say that, yes, they've passed an inspection and things of that nature.
Passed the inspection of whom?
Like the, say, USDA or somebody tells Title VI, like, you can or cannot accept that raw food from our harvest lands because it has or has not passed an inspection, or would that clean up some of that restriction that we currently have?
Hang on 1 second. I'm getting messages that Jan Heyman and Ms. Rebecca Kirk are unable to hear us. I'm sorry, second speaker. Any luck, Ms. Shanna? They can't hear us. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not liable.
Well, I meant like this kind of clears that up. So like when they take food to us out to the, you know, out to our villages doing the dances and say, here's a lot of food, you know, tomatoes and lettuce, and it kind of makes it, we know that it's quality.
Well, because they actually have a food safety plan already. They've already approved the Harvest Food Safety Plan.
Okay.
They haven't had that in place themselves without this being there. It's what they're going to be able to do under Osage Nation now, too. They already have one because I believe it's a state.
Okay.
Caitlin, can you hear it? You all can't hear us at all back there?
We lost you.
Shall we recess?
Okay.
Recess.
Motion to recess.
Second.
Do the best.
Okay, so what are we, so let's just, we got 15 minutes left, so we're just going to go ahead and end the meeting, and then that'll give you guys time to, I guess, figure everything out.
We're going
to
end it?
Okay.
So we postpone?
Yes, we need to postpone 2141 and 2109 to the call of the chair. They'll be on Friday's agenda.
2141 and 2109?
Gotcha. ONCA 2141 and ONCR 2109.
Okay. I'd like to move to postpone ONCA 2149. 41, excuse me, and ONCR 2109 to the call of the chair.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Motion
no
to adjourn.
Opposed. Motion carries, and the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 We're adjourned.
Thank you, Chair, for the wonderful meeting. And then we need to have Caitlin send a out to before they shut it off.
Because we need to let RJ know because of education.
Oh, yeah. So are you guys, do you guys feel like we need that definition in there?
Well, I think anytime that, obviously.
Extra?
Yeah, add it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And
I've noticed too, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's right.
My brain is like so full, I have to get it out.
Yeah.
I apologize. There's a definition of nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
In this, in her bill?
Yeah.
Because we also have the nonprofit regulations coming in.
Yeah.
So maybe it should go there. Is that your thought? It should go there
instead?
Well, it
depends on what type of organization it is. Like, is it going to be a nonprofit related to food?
That's why I was asking
commercial producers.
Well, we need to look because we've got that. So.